takes a lot of people to work together. And I want to thank Cynthia Hallett, who has head up the alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs section, and with her hat from Americans for Non-Smokers' Rights, has really taken on tobacco-free pharmacies, along with years and years of work on smoke-free spaces, and so appreciative of that. Too many people to thank. Well, let me go ahead. First, I have to disclose, and no relationships to disclose, although for 18 years I've been with a really cute gay Mexican sushi chef. He's wonderful. It's really great, so I'll just disclose that one.
I just want to acknowledge the arrow.
But I really want to show my appreciation to California's tobacco control program. We call it CTCP in California. Now, it's estimated to have saved well over 1 million lives over its more than 25 years. And the program is estimated to have saved over $86 billion in personal health care costs. But a little bit of history for those who might not know. So back in 1988, the voters of California passed Proposition 99, the Tobacco Tax Initiative of 1988. And the voters approved a tax on tobacco, funding tobacco control research, evaluation, community programs, education in the schools, and hard-hitting ads like the ones on the screen and a lot of TV ads that I can't show today that call out the tobacco industry for who they are. Now, the program has given advocates like me the opportunity to innovate, to dream, to strive for health equity, to change the social norm, to denormalize tobacco, to deglamorize tobacco, the use of it, the sales of it, and really most of all to save lives, like the lives that we've all lost from our families, those of us here in this room, my grandfather and two great uncles. Now, as the late Joan Rivers used to say, can we talk? We are virtually the last place on earth to get the memo, okay, that cigarettes and pharmacies don't mix. Now, if you've had the misfortune of getting ill in another country, you run to the pharmacy, you notice something right away. You don't see a tobacco power wall at the checkout. You see life-saving medications. But that's different from how we've grown up and the story that you shared, Will, about Zoe. I mean, that's so true. The idea of selling danger and addiction at the front of a store while selling us medicine at the pharmacy in the back, it's classic profits before people. And there's little regard to health in that status quo. A little bit of British Columbia, by the way, still selling tobacco, 5% of Guatemalan pharmacies from a paper I had read. So if anyone knows any more, please let me know. So, you know, the whole country loves to make fun of San Francisco. And there was a late-night comedian, Conan O'Brien, and he did a show from San Francisco, and he said, you know, you got to love San Francisco, a city where you know, marijuana is legal and plastic bags aren't, right? So just, you know, come back with me to San Francisco, right to my neighborhood, a half dozen years ago. Now, in this slide, we see not one but two Walgreens locations. Both are in the Castro District, which is famous for its large numbers of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender residents and visitors. Now, on the left, you see a photo that I was told at that time was the highest grossing Walgreens out of their 8,200 plus or so locations in the country. It was a store. It's a store open 24 hours on a busy pedestrian corner in the center of this district with many bars, cafes, restaurants, a lot of visitors. Now, the location on the right is also a Walgreens, but this one is pretty much, I think, known as a specialty pharmacy. At that time, especially, I believe it opened up to cater a little more dignified and quiet place to cater to people who are getting their HIV medications, now diabetes medications, others, so they can meet with a pharmacist and consult, maybe without having other people listen and see them as they're in a drugstore. And they're just 50 steps away from each other. And, you know, ever since I was in San Francisco, moved there in 1993, I noticed that cigarettes were really flying out the door of this particular Walgreens to my brothers and sisters in my LGBT community. And I felt like our neighborhood was a different neighborhood because of this location. But really what it did was sort of hatched a policy idea, just that juxtaposition of the two stores right near each other, and thinking, you know, what if all the pharmacies in San Francisco could be like this pharmacy, that specialty shop, and what if they could be like the other pharmacies in the rest of the world? You know, a place to get better, not a place to get cancer. So we started with a listening tour, and part of the three-year plan that we wrote with California's Tobacco Control Program, we chatted with over 400 people in our neighborhood, and we asked them a question: what do you think about a policy of no tobacco sales at pharmacies? The wording was a little different back then, but that's pretty much what we asked. And actually, at that time, remember, there was a time before CVS made its announcement and its bold change. People said, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, it's a pharmacy. Oh, yeah, they sell tobacco. You know, it's like it didn't even resonate. And then people said, you know, I never thought about that, but yeah, that makes sense. And so we got a sense from talking to people that, one, the awareness is not there, but there might be really some interest, you know, in a healthier neighborhood. And that policy idea came about. So after having completed that listening tour, we were really empowered to move forward. And as Fred said, and he said it just right, and that's why I love working with Fred, you know, work with the pharmacists. They are the ones. And one of the things, pharmacists take an oath that, among other things, they'll hold themselves and their colleagues to the highest principles of their profession's moral, ethical, and legal conduct. These are the people to work with. This slide shows the pharmacy employees of an independent pharmacy in San Francisco. They were receiving a commendation from the San Francisco Board of Supervisors for having done what we think is the right thing, never having sold tobacco in their pharmacy. We ran a public service campaign along the city's public transit corridors to raise the visibility of this theme around the city. And this actually was borrowed from a campaign, I believe it was APHA 2002. There were some other advocates working on it before us. And we put a new name on it, Cigarettes and Pharmacies Don't Mix, but it shows this juxtaposition. So on the left, you'll see on the bus there, it shows an image of some cough syrup being poured on a spoon. And the line under it says, you know, to help a persistent cough, go to aisle 8. But you know, on the right, there's a cigarette hovering over an ashtray, and in contrast to that helping the persistent cough, to get a persistent cough, go, and now it's behind the counter, right? But at that time, it was, you know, aisle 14. So, inconsistency at that point. So trying to point that out to policymakers and just to the general public. All right, so, you know, there was a time Walgreens got kind of ornery about a week before the Board of Supervisors hearing, and they started posting an 8.5 by 11 black and white sheet on the cigarette counter in their, I believe, almost 70 locations in the city of San Francisco at that time. Attention Walgreens customers, this proposal will make it less convenient for you to shop for all your needs in one location in your neighborhood while limiting your access to legally available products. This proposal will force smokers to liquor stores, tobacco shops, gas stations, and other retailers that don't carry smoking cessation products and don't have pharmacists available to help for advice on quitting smoking. On the other side is the Daily Post, a newspaper that's no longer in business. People love that headline, Giraffe Dies of Heart Attack, and want to know more about that. So that's a sad story, but I didn't want to. It's really about how the press was looking at this, okay? Smokers lose again. And actually it says San Francisco supervisors, so we talk about public health and making lives, saving lives, supervisors tightened the noose around smokers yesterday. That's what they said. And the San Francisco Examiner, under different ownership at that time, named this ordinance, this idea, as one of the 10 worst ideas of the week. So CVS got some pretty good press, but we had some trouble way back in 2008, I'll tell you. Okay, so here come the lawyers. So you passed the first tobacco-free pharmacy ordinance in the United States, but then, you know, what happens? Well, lawyers come to town. So lawyers from a huge tobacco company, lawyers from a huge drugstore pharmacy chain, and later lawyers from a large grocery chain, many of its stores with pharmacies inside, and they're here to try to protect that status quo. Lawyers in town could very well be a sign that somebody is on the verge of something big. A change in the social norm. Discussions over who decides where in the community tobacco and e-cigarettes are sold. So yeah, the lawsuits were really discouraging to see, but San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera and the courts sent the tobacco company packing. Yes, San Francisco can have its tobacco-free pharmacy ordinance, said the courts, and the law was never interrupted. San Francisco pharmacies have been tobacco-free over 6 years now. But we love our tobacco control lawyers, and a fact sheet from Change Lab Solutions sums up what happened, and I'm paraphrasing, local laws prohibiting tobacco sales in pharmacies have survived lawsuits, including constitutional challenges based on First Amendment and equal protection guarantees. The court decisions in these cases have held that local governments do, I was surprised, do have the authority to prohibit tobacco sales in pharmacies. So another way to say this is all the lawsuits have been resolved. Think a green light, not a red light or a yellow light, a green light. And there are no longer any legal barriers that would prevent any community, and how about yours, from going forward with a tobacco-free legislative policy to make all of your pharmacies tobacco-free. We're just at the beginning of this, but over 100 laws are already on the books, a lot of laws, and a lot of great in Massachusetts. We're going to hear about that from Tammy. And actually, three more in California just in the last couple of months. So this is what it looked like before, on the shelf on the left, you know, right before midnight. And then immediately, every store complied with law. It was the easiest compliance. They just took them away and put in expensive Fiji water, actually. pretty good profit margin on that. Okay, so, and I do want to point out that how this works legislatively is that San Francisco has a tobacco retailer permit. So to sell tobacco, you have to have a permit. So all the chain pharmacies had permits. The independent pharmacies were not selling tobacco by and large. But that permit to sell expired on October 1st, 2008. That's how it worked. That was the mechanism of the tobacco-free pharmacy ordinance. Okay. Maybe I'm going to skip this. Got nervous. Well, anyway, I'll just tell you. This is sad. I'll skip that. So, I'll go back. Well, okay. So here's the thing. So I get this mystery letter from a man who is a district manager in this part of the country. Okay, and he was really upset. He worked for one of the companies, and he said, you know, we get a memo every week, and it says, "Good job, cosmetic sales up 49%. You know, photo sales down, not so good." So this one says, cigarette sales, cigs, 64.2% increase. And then there's a note there, and it says, thank goodness people smoke still, equals future script growth. Now, I'm just reading the piece of paper, but I think you're interpreting in the same way. It's really, really sad to see. So, you know, thank you, CVS. I'll tell you, we experimented with just by writing a tobacco-free pharmacy Wikipedia page. Why not? It's free. It's there. And it was a little activity in our work plan. So no one looked at that, or very few people. In fact, 33 people looked at it the day before. And see that spike? 979 people checked that out the day CVS made its decision. So it shows the impact that all of these decisions are having, little ones, big ones, and how we're all working together. It's pretty exciting. Okay, last thing. Am I doing two?
Yeah.
Or one? Okay. So pretty excited that after a lot of work, the first Board of Pharmacy in the United States has come up with a policy statement. Sometimes government organizations don't like to do that, but they decided to do it. And actually, there's a board member from CVS who, you know, may have had something to do with it, and a lot of others too. Thank you, California State Board of Pharmacy. They said they recognize that pharmacists are healthcare providers. Pharmacies are in the business of improving customer health. Therefore, the board recommends that pharmacies and chain stores that include pharmacies eliminate the sale of tobacco, e-cigarettes, and tobacco products, as these products are known to cause cancer, heart disease, lung disease, and other health problems. So this is another step in equalizing a world where there isn't this exposure at the local pharmacy. I think that is a good place to end, so we'll have time for questions and time for Tammy. Yeah, thank you very much.